like, man, we just heard it all through your video. Well, yes, you did. I wasn't 100% sure what I wanted to preach tonight. While you're turning, I don't know. I always get nervous doing this when the pastor's not here, but it helps my nerves. I asked my pastor one time, I said, y'all like, man, what's he about to do? I'm going to tell a joke. It's okay. My pastor said, if you can't laugh in the house of the Lord, where can you laugh? It's because of Jesus. We have hope and joy, right? I asked him one time, I said, Brother Wayne, when do you quit getting nervous preaching? He said, I don't know. I've been doing it 50 years, and I get nervous still to this day. Speaking of nerves, there's this young boy. He had a middle school, high school. He had a crush on one of the girls in his class, and she invited him over to dinner. And he thought, all right, he's excited. And then he got thinking about it. He said, I got to meet mom and dad. I'm a little nervous about this. So he goes, this is back when you went to the pharmacy for everything. So he goes to the pharmacist and he says, sir, I need to buy some chocolate. I want to buy a box of chocolates. He says, all right, son, well, what's the special occasion? He said, well, I'm going to get to go to Susie's house and go to dinner. And I wanted to get something special. And I'm hoping that maybe after we eat dinner, we can go sit on the porch swing. And maybe if I get lucky enough, I could hold her hand. If I get to hold her hand, I'm going to give her a piece of chocolate. He said, and then if I get even more lucky and get to put my arm around her, he said, I'm going to give her another piece of chocolate. So I just want it to be special. I don't know. He said, well, and then if I get maybe lucky enough to maybe reach in and give her a little kiss on the cheek, he said, I'm just going to give her the whole box of chocolates. Just to be the best thing ever. He says, all right, son, well, all right. Here's your chocolates. Here's the money. Goes on his way. He said, I hope everything goes good. So old Johnny gets to her house and knocks on the door. She answers the door. She says, come on in. She said, Mama's got food on the table. It's ready to go. So he goes in the house and sits down. He's nervous. He's nervous. Well, the dad of the family says, son, why don't you pray for dinner tonight? And let me tell you, talking about South Africans and charismatic, he about had a charismatic Holy Ghost revival at that dining room table. He was praying heaven down, make Elijah jealous, just shy of praying fire down on the table. He gets done. All the these and nows that he can put in there. In Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Just kind of silence. Susie looks over at him and goes, I didn't know you could pray like that. He looks at her and says, I didn't know your daddy was the pharmacist. Johnny hadn't been. He got real nervous when he showed in at that table. Anyway, it's all right. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? Amen. A while back, Brother Jason Hamby with Macedonia asked me, he said, Brother Blaine, what verses did the Lord use in your life to call you into ministry? And that's kind of why the running theme of our video and just my whole goal as mission in missions is this Romans. We know the Great Commission verses of the Bible, go ye therefore and teach all nations, or go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those aren't the verses that the Lord used in my life. In church, can I say that those are verses for every single one of us? It doesn't say go missionary. Don't go to Israel or wherever. This is go ye to reach the lost, period. That's for all of us. All of the gospel, all the commandments to tell the gospel are for all of us. The Lord didn't use the missions verses, if you will, in my life. But he used Romans chapter 10, verse 13, 14, and 15. We know Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I'm thankful we serve a whosoever God. Not a he picks and chooses. Never mind. That's a different message for another day. But I'm thankful because I was a whosoever and you're whosoevers. They're whosoevers in South Africa. Wherever you're from, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My chapter 10 doesn't end right there, does it? Immediately after, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Immediately, what about those that have never heard? What about everybody else? What about those without a preacher? And in my Bible, Romans 10 is 10:13 is highlighted, circled, and then it's got another little saying, hey, go to the part of the Romans road, right? We know this verse. I almost guarantee everybody in here can quote it. So I get to sharing it, and like I said, we were working at our home church and getting to work with young people, got to share the gospel a bunch. Man, this is almost like 14, that big how. How then? Just coming off the page at me. What was I doing about those without the preacher? Without a preacher. What was I doing about it? In Dalton, Georgia, we have about 35,000 people. We have 30 Baptist churches. And I say Baptist loosely. Now, if we want to say churches really loosely, we've got over 100 for 30,000 people. But Baptist church in the name on the sign, whether it's Southern Baptist, Independent, Cantankerous, Hillbilly, Mountain, it don't matter. Baptist in the sign, 30,000 people. There's not 1,000 people in each one of those churches. I wish there were. There's tremendous need right here. They're at home. But what was I doing about those in India with 1 billion people? What was I doing about those in South Africa, 500,000 in one church? Or Khayelitsha, the township of Khayelitsha with 2.5 million with nobody preaching the gospel to them. What was I doing about those without the gospel? And it just, I could not get away from it. How are they going to hear unless we proclaim it as Christians? How is this world going to hear the good news of Jesus unless we do our part of fulfilling the Great Commission and going and telling them? And so that's my prayer as we go, and that's my prayer for churches. I mean it. We've got to get a burn for the lost. But not just around the world. We've got to get a burn. We get real comfortable in our little circles. We get real comfortable. We've got to have a burden. Let's read it for sake of time. I'm just going to read a couple. It's familiar. I don't know if y'all do this, but we've been sitting for a minute. Let's stand up, stretch our legs. I'm just going to read 13 down, and then I'm going to read back through as we get through it. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You can be seated as I pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I want to take a time and ask that you would be the pastor tonight. Lord, I pray that you would touch his body. Lord, I pray that you would give him some comfort tonight. Lord, I know his heart desires and longs to be here with his people. Lord, the people that you've put him in charge of loving and guiding. So, Lord, I just pray now that you would touch him, help him tonight. Now, Lord, I ask that you would be with me, Lord, as I present your word. Lord, I pray that you would, if there's anything between you or I, Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of that, Lord. And I pray that your word would just speak tonight. Help me to be a useful vessel for you. And, Lord, I pray that this may be a blessing to this church like your text is to me here tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, when I was studying this whole Romans chapter 10 and going through it, I went back to verse 1. You know, you shouldn't just plop off in the middle of a chapter and, well, I was going to go for it. Get a little context. Verse 1, go back to it with me if you don't mind. We've made it all the way, and we've made it all the way to chapter 10 right here. And now I get it. I know when he wrote this, there weren't chapters and verses. Well, he's made it all this way in this letter. And in my Bible, brethren is all capital. It's caps, big, bold letters, brethren. Paul's getting ready to write and say, hey, guys, listen up. I'm about to share something. He's getting their attention. Hey, guys, listen. He said, I'm about to show you my heart. Now, Paul here, he is writing. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, Paul, like I said, he's specifically writing here about his burden for his people, the Jews. And there's a teaching out there that says today the church replaces the Jews as God's chosen people. If you think that's the case, look at verse chapter 11, verse 1. He's asked about that. He says, God forbid, that's what I'm saying. We do not replace. Israel is still God's people. But we can still read this and see Paul's heart, and that should be our heart as well, for the lost. It's kind of he says, brethren, it's my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So, church, I want to ask you tonight, quickly, what is your desire? What is the desire of your heart tonight? What do you desire above all else? Because our desire should be the same here as his. And that is to reach this world, because the last time I checked, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Hey, but there's good news. Like Scott Pauley says, isn't it good when God butts in? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a whole lot of people that fall into that category that are lost and on their way to hell. Do we truly desire, to the point where we could say it's our heart's desire, to see them saved? A lot of times we get comfortable. And we shouldn't just be comfortable, because this world is dying and on its way to hell unless we do what we're told to do as Christians. We shouldn't be comfortable sitting in a pew. Paul's burden was so great. Here it sounds a little bit nicer. He said, hey, brethren, listen, my heart's desire and prayer is that they be saved, right? Flip back to chapter 9 and verse 2. Go back a page, chapter 9, verse 2. He uses a little bit stronger wording here. Back up to verse 1. I need to change this on my notes. Verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He's saying as Christianly as he can, I swear this is what I'm about to say is the truth. He says, the Holy Ghost is my witness. What is he about to say? What? That I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Do you realize what he just says right there? He says, this is, I'm so burdened and so broken over my lost brethren that I would take hell for them. I would literally accurse myself, because, hey, if you're lost, that's what you are. You're accursed from Christ. He says, I would accurse myself from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He says, I would take hell for him. Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, sometimes I get worried about maybe being a little bit of an inconvenience today to somebody. You know, this waitress or this person that I'm about to knock on this door and share the gospel with, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to bother them. Yeah, you know, it's, I don't want to bother this person. I don't, but we do that. We make all these excuses, don't we? Well, you know, it's really cold out. I got to get pump gas and get back in the car. I know that guy. He don't want to hear what I'm saying tonight. He's cold too. Heaven forbid we get inconvenienced with sharing the gospel. Oh, Brother Blaine, it's cold out. I just want to sit in my car and pump gas tonight. That guy that's pumping gas next to me, he can wait. Ah, Pastor, it's raining today. I know we got visitation or whatever you guys do here. I know we've got this, that, or the other, but little Johnny's got this softball football game or basketball game or whatever game it is. We can't miss that. Oh, Pastor, we got this, that, or the other going on. We can't be out there at soul winning. There's some people that one day will be crying your name. Said, why didn't you tell me? Paul writes, and he warns later, he says, in that context of why is the world in the case it is, he says to the church, I speak it to your shame. I'm in this, listen. I've got fingers pointing back at me. Man, why is this world in the shape it is? Sin, of course. Why do people not know like they should? Because we don't do what we should as Christians. I'm throwing the rocks at me. Y'all don't slash my tires when I leave tonight. Because I need it too. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, the missionary. He's coming here. Of course he's going to come in here and beat us over the... No. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a sinner saved by grace that just wants to do with the Lord. And trust me, I don't wake up every day feeling like I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Quite actually, it's the other way around. A lot of days, I don't feel like it. But we got to do it. I preached this morning with Brother Jeffers from Corinthians, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Sometimes, you know what? It's Christian service. It stinks. It does. We're going to battle that until we're in eternity, until we're in heaven. we've got a perfect. That's not the end of that verse where he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He remembers. He said, hey, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's something to look forward to in this Christian. And our desire should be to see people saved. You know, and this is our world that we're living in. You think he's talking about the Jews. Let's read verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Back at chapter 10. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Boy, that is the world that we live in today. There's a lot of churches out there that claim to be preaching something, that go about establishing their own righteousness. Let's take it out of these so-called churches, the world that we're living in, that's saying you can be what you want to be, literally and physically today, going about establishing their own truths, their own what's right. That's our world that we live in, a world that says it's about us and what we think is right. That we as Baptists sometimes get a little hateful over. They're lost. They need the gospel, and they need to hear that there's a God that loved them enough to send his son for them no matter how wicked they are. Paul says, I was the chiefest of sinners. He killed the church. He murdered the church. He died for me, and our grace is not going to be in vain. I'm going to get out and let that grace be used of God. Now, we're preaching. We've got to preach the truth. We've got to share the truth. But we've got to reach this world that is burning down and going to hell. Paul says, it's my desire for them to be saved. You know what the biggest problem that we have in our world today, I say in our world, in our churches and in our Christian lives today, is we lose that desire to see people saved because we lose the delight in our salvation. Brother Jeffers actually said that this morning. He said, we've been too far gone or too far separated from the day we got saved. I was like, man, that's a good way of putting it. But it's true. What is it that we should delight in as Christians? Look, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law. Amen. Thank the Lord, because I have a hard enough time living under grace sometimes, right? For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that man which doeth these things shall live by them. Skip down to verse 8 for sake of time. He asks some rhetorical questions in 6 and 7. He says, because who of you could go to heaven and bring Christ down? Anyway, verse 8, this is it. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee and in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here it is, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. If you're not ashamed of something, you're proud of it, right? Are we living lives that say we're proud of our salvation? Truly. Are we delighting to the point in our salvation that we're going out and telling people? That when people look at us and they spend any amount of time around us, they go, there's something different about them. Because it's all right. The Bible says we're to be a peculiar people. Well, it's all right to be a little weird and go against the grain. Anyway, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Here it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you still delight in that? That's salvation. Last time I checked, every one of us in here are either lost or saved. And if you fall into that second category of saved, that should make you excited. But we get saved and, oh, Pastor, praise God, I've been saved 45 years today. Hey, Pastor, I've been saved 10 years, praise God. Sit right back down. Now, what are we doing that's going out and saying? Because when you got saved, you were excited about it. You probably told somebody about it, even if they didn't want to hear it. Why does that change? Why? I'm just as guilty. Now, I'm not saying God's going to call everybody in this room to go around the world. Well, God doesn't call us all to be missionaries, foreign, or he doesn't even call us to be vocational Christians, but we're all called to be full-time Christians. Like me and Holly, we've been to some of you guys, and I'm not saying, nobody's old in here, I'm not saying that. But to some of y'all, me and Holly, after 11 years, are still in our honeymoon phase. But even after 11 years of marriage, now I love her, I think she loves me, she puts up with me, that's love enough. But even after, you know, like little Johnny and Susie on the front porch swing, you know, you're dating, you just brush hands, you know, you brush hands, it's so... You know, we get married and you walk in there all proud, high head held high. Yeah, this is my wife. And she walks around like, oh, hey, how y'all doing? You know, waving the ring. That looked a little weird for today, didn't it? Yeah. Where's the camera at, Pastor? I'm sorry. But it's, I'm not going to recover from that one. In seriousness, though, after 11 years of marriage, we love each other. We hold hands. But it's not this more. Now it's more like, what? What do you want? And I say that being funny, but that's how we are with our Christian life. Yeah, we're glad we're not going to hell. Yeah, I love my wife. Love her dearly. I love her just as much as the day that I married her, more. But do I show it like I should? Why is the church and compared to the bride? There's a picture there. Hey, if I want this to thrive, if I want this to be successful, if I want people to know that I'm married, I show it. Why do we do that with our Christian life? Because we lose the delight in our salvation. We lose the delight in that we were a whosoever, and we get over it. And this world cannot afford it, and I've got to finish, because we have a duty as Christians to do. We've seen what our desire should be, not the things of this world, not the most money, but we let that desire slip because we lose the delight in our salvation. And hear me out, none of us are, we never get over the fact that we're not going to hell. Be crazy, or are you not saved? But do you truly delight in it still? Because there's still a verse 14. We have a duty as Christians. How then? How are they going to call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe of whom they have not heard? How is this world going to hear the truth in a world full of lies and deceit that's going about making its own truths unless us as Christians do our job and tell them? How are they going to hear without a preacher? You say, well, Brother Blaine, I can't be a preacher. I can't pastor. It doesn't say pastor. It doesn't say missionary. How are they going to hear without a preacher? That means one who, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, one who proclaims. That is every one of us in this room that have breath. Even if you have breath that's wheezing and hacking, you got breath and you can declare the gospel. And that is what we have been left here as Christians to do, all of us. Go you there. You say, well, Brother Blaine, okay, you got me there. It's for all of us. But I get nervous. Yeah. Don't think I'm just ready to pile up and move to the country with the highest murder and ancestral rape and kidnapping of any place in the world. Not be a little nervous about it. But here's the thing. The Great Commission, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptize them at the end. And lo, I'm with you. Amen. He promises, the same God that promises Joshua all through the book of Joshua, that he's with him. That's the same God you and I serve today. When he went up to heaven and he said, hey, here's what I'm leaving you to do. He said, I'm with you. I'm sending a comfort. I'm sending all powers given to me. And he gives us the Holy Ghost. We're not in this thing alone. We're not doing this thing by ourselves. He promises to be with us and help us. Because I can't do it. I'd be ignorant, prideful, foolish to say, Blaine Hooper's going to South Africa. Brother Butts is going to, we're staying in Sevier County. We're a little bit further north. You can't, it's not of us. was of him. Verse 17. Actually, verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That sounds a little Christmassy, don't it? Because, man, what an awesome task it is that you and I get to take the gospel, the good news, the exciting, the gospel of peace and glad tidings of good things. What an awesome thing it is we get to do. There's that delight. But we make it sound like it's the worst thing. I don't feel like it today. I won't talk to this person. And you're getting to give them eternal changing news. What an awesome thing it is. We have a duty as Christians, church. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Now he's talking about the trials that they faced, the hard things that they faced. He says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Now, let me say, God's word is set forever. This thing, we don't have to worry about it. It ain't going nowhere. Praise God. And that's not what he's saying. It's not our responsibility to, this is set. But he's left it in our hand and said, go and tell them. What are we doing with it? Paul shares his heart here. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. Can you put your name right there and answer that honestly? Say, it's Blaine's desire to see the lost saved. It's my heart's desire above all else. Because if we're being honest, that should be our number one desire. My first priority is my family. But you know what? I want them saved. Hey, and then we get to go reach the world together as a family. Why we're here. Why are we not taken up to heaven immediately? Because there'd be nobody to tell. Church, do you truly desire to see people saved tonight? I mean, truly. We say we do. 154,000 people a day go into eternity. 154,000 people. I am 6 minutes past seven. 6 minutes ago from the time we started singing, 5,400 people went into eternity. Statistically, almost every one of them went to hell. Does it bother you? I mean, really? Does it bother me? You really think about that. 5,400 people opened their eyes and took their first breath of hell since we walked in this building. There may be some saved. Praise God for them. But what are we doing? You say, I can't reach them all. No, you're right. But we can reach those that God puts right in front of us to reach, our family members, our co-workers. Some of the hardest people to witness to. He doesn't call us to be successful. He doesn't call us to outgive or out-tell more than everybody else. He just wants some faithful Christians to reach this world. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. That's all I want to be. Church, that's all you should want to be. Just simply faithful to God. Faithful to reach this world. Put your name there. Can you answer it? Can you ask that honestly? It's your heart's desire and prayer to see the lost saved. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you would help me, Lord, to get more of a burden for lost. Lord, I can always do better. I can always have a bigger burden. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help the folks of this church, Lord, to truly get a burden for the lost, to realize that every person that we face every single day knows you, or they don't. And, Lord, I pray that for those that don't, that we would get a burden to see them saved. You give us boldness to reach them. You give us opportunities to reach them with the gospel and share the good news, the good tidings, great things, Lord, that your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's one here tonight that's not saved, Lord, I pray that they would get that settled tonight before they walk out of these doors. Lord, I pray that for those of us that are saved, that we would do more for you. We can always do more. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, as she begins to play.